Georgetown, how are you? It is good to see you all. I'm just very happy to be here today and grateful for the opportunity to share with you. We're going to look at Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. And if you have a Bible, I encourage you to turn to it. If not, grab the one in front of you, as I've seen some of you do already, and turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 is the parable of what we call the unjust judge and the widow. And it is part of a only slightly larger section of scripture that I think we need to understand if we're going to understand the parable and its meaning fully. If we go back to Luke 17, verse 20, Jesus is asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. And that's just another way of asking, when is God going to make things right? When is God going to make things right? And honestly, that's a question I ask myself a lot these days. When is God going to make things right in the world? Well, then Jesus proceeds to tell them that the kingdom is already in their midst, but the kingdom has not come as one would expect the kingdom to come, and the king has not come as one would expect the king to come. The king came, he was born in the backwater town of Bethlehem to a poor, unknown family from Nazareth. So the king has come and the kingdom is in their midst. But Jesus tells them that that will not always be the way it is. That a day is coming when they will long for him because he will have departed. He will no longer be with them. And then Jesus says that the kingdom will return in its fullness. And when it does so, it will be impossible to miss. It will be as if lightning struck and it filled all of the horizon with blinding light. It will be as if righteousness suddenly appears and reigns over all the world. And so then God will make things right. But until then, we have to wait. And waiting is hard, isn't it? Waiting is hard, especially waiting is hard when we know in our hearts that the things we're waiting for are things that we need, things that we desperately want, are things that are right and just and good. And waiting is hard. And so Jesus told his disciples this parable in Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. hard to believe, but I have four adult sons. But when they were younger, much younger, they would come to me and Dad, can I go see a particular movie? Or can I go to a particular party with some friends? And quite often, because I didn't have the benefit of full information, I didn't know exactly what the movie was about or who was going to be at the party, if there were going to be parents like that. Because I didn't have all the details, quite often I would say, well, maybe. Or we'll see. My kids came to interpret maybe to mean no. And it frustrated them to no end. I think many times we as adults often interpret delay or hesitancy to mean no. Waiting is hard. Waiting requires hope and faith. And to be honest with you, sometimes I don't have either of those in too much abundance. How about you? Depending upon the circumstances, waiting can eat away at our hearts and eat away at our hope and eat away at our faith to the point where we are left with an emptiness and despair. Waiting is hard, and I think Jesus understood this. He understood that it was going to be difficult to wait for him to return again. And so he told this parable so that the disciples, so that you and I would not grow weary, so that we would not become exhausted, so that we would not hear God's wait as a no and grow discouraged. Jesus tells this parable about a widow and a judge. Now, in the Bible, the widows are listed among a special class of people that God especially cares for. Widows, along with foreigners and orphans, are that class of people that are extremely vulnerable. They have no resources. They have no connection with anybody in the world. They are alone. They are without recourse, without resources, without hope. And they have a special place in the heart of God. And so I think they should have a special place in the heart of God's people as well. Circumstances have driven this special class of people, widows and orphans and foreigners, to a place where they have to look to others for the things that they need, whether physical or emotional or even spiritual. According to the prophets, widows, orphans, and foreigners. Well, if you were serving them, if you were looking out after them, you were being faithful to the will of God. James tells us that that looking out after widows is religion that God considers to be pure and faultless. And this widow is without any recourse. People either never saw her, or if they did, they just disregarded her and they looked past her and her needs. And in fairness, maybe the people, they didn't have any recourse themselves. Maybe they didn't have the means to help her, to respond to her needs. And so not responding to, so having no one else to respond to, she goes to the courts. Now, in the first century, courts were not this place of strict rules and decorum as we imagine courts to be today. Like many of you, I've been in a courtroom. I've never been the one accused, thankfully, but I've been in courtrooms, and they are places of strict decorum. You know, I felt like you better sit up straight and you know, nod your head
and do nothing else. They're places of strict decorum. Rules are strictly enforced and followed. Not so in the first century. In Israel in the first century, courts were wide open. They were held in courtyards or on street corners. Rules were not strictly enforced. Courts were places where people screamed at one another and yelled at one another. And whoever had the most money, whoever had the most power, was the one that was usually able to get a favorable decision from the judge. Imagine having court at signatures. I think some of you have probably done that before. I have. And that's the way court was in the first century. Luke, in his gospel, writes of mobs following Jesus, enormous crowds following Jesus. And sometimes they got rowdy. And I think that that's the image that the Lord wants us to recall when he places this parable in the midst of a court. Don't think of this as a place of formality and quiet. Picture it as a busy street with the sound of buses and cars honking, with vendors selling goods, and with people yelling at one another, with people walking by, and if they grew interested in what was happening, they could stop and listen, and maybe they could even yell out their opinion. And you know what? You ever feel like you're praying in just such a place? You ever feel like your prayers are being offered up in the midst of havoc and chaos, in the midst of despair, in the midst of a lot of other noise and distractions that's going on in the world, and you have to scream louder and louder to be heard, and yet God seems to be deaf? And so I think that this courtroom where people would yell at one another to seek justice and to seek what they felt they were entitled is an apt description for the way we sometimes pray. Sometimes we have to pray that way and in those situations. This widow has very little going for her, and what glimmer of hope she does have is quickly snuffed out by the fact that the judge she brings her case before is one who has absolutely no regard for humanity, has absolutely no regard for pleasing God, for doing God's will, for serving God. He is a judge completely contrary to what the Old Testament tells us judges are supposed to be like. In 2 Chronicles 19, Jehoshaphat is a judge who is reformed-minded. He wants to see Israel turn around, turn away from their sin and embrace God again. And he commissions judges, he appoints judges to oversee the people in their dispute. And he tells them this: this is serious work. Do it carefully. You are not merely judging between men and women. These are God's judgments that you are passing on. Live in the fear of God, but be most careful, for God hates dishonesty, partiality, and bribery. And then the king Jehoshaphat also told them to do their work, to judge in the fear of God, to be dependable and honest in all of their duties. But this judge has no interest whatsoever in being trustworthy and honest. He has no interest in living his life, in performing his job in a way that fears God and honors God. And so when the widow screams, "Give me justice over my adversary," she's not heard. And so she screams louder. And eventually, when she is heard, the judge simply says in response, "Don't bother me. Leave me alone." But she keeps screaming. Day after day, she begins her trek to the place where the judge is. And I imagine that it's like two steps forward and one step back as her heart fluctuates between, maybe today is the day that he will hear my calls and respond to my need. Maybe today is the day. And at the same time, she's thinking to herself, why do I do this? Why bother? I'm not going to be heard. Day after day, she keeps screaming and the judge keeps saying no. It's as if this widow is in a boxing match. That's the language that Jesus uses here in some instances to describe the effect that the widow's badgering has on the judge. It's as if an amateur boxer is fighting against the world champion. And he's flailing away at the champion. And his blows matter little, if anything, to the champion. Until finally the amateur, he lands a punch square on his jaw. And the champion goes down. That's the imagery that Jesus uses here. He says that the judge is finally going to get so fed up with this widow constantly coming to him with her complaint, with her cries for justice, her cries that he make things better, that eventually he's going to get a black eye. And so he'll finally give in and respond to her, to give her the justice that she deserves, that he will do what he should do. And what he promised to do when he took the position. For the past few weeks, we've been looking at lament. And some of you may be asking yourselves, well, what does all of this have to do with lament? Everything. Everything. Understanding the parables can be tricky at times. Things are not and are the way they seem in the parable. The metaphors are sometimes hard to understand. The metaphors are the comparisons and contrasts are not always precise. When a teacher like Jesus taught using a parable, he sometimes expected his listeners to contrast rather than compare. And in the case of the parable and the widow and the unjust judge, I think we're doing both. Jesus is challenging us here to examine what we think, what we feel, what we believe God is like. Is God like the unjust judge who constantly says no? Or constantly says wait? Constantly says, we'll see. Is God someone who doesn't really care, who is indifferent, who is apathetic? Or is he a righteous and good judge who will respond to the just prayers of his people, who will meet the needs of his people regardless of what they may be? I sometimes think that too many times I personally say to myself, why bother? Why bother? Do you, like me, sometimes lose faith and accept the lie that God is either uncaring or unable to respond? Are you like me that after you've repeatedly laid yourself bare on the altar before God and God seems to look away, and so you look away too? Are you like me? You're exhausted, tired. You don't want to wait anymore. You feel beaten down. And God seems indifferent. Are you like me? You're tired of waiting? We all believe that Jesus Christ is going to come again. But we're tired of waiting. And so what do? We keep screaming, "Come, Lord Jesus," just as the widow kept screaming, "Give me justice." When we look around us and we see a world that's going to hell and we can't do anything about it because we in ourselves are powerless, we cry out to God and say, "God, do something. Come and make things right again." This has been the prayer of God's people through the ages. The Psalms, as Eric illustrated for us, they are written by people who feel forsaken, people who feel like their bones are being withered away by anguish and despair. They are written by people whose enemies are attacking them from all sides. They are written by people who are hopeless and in need of God. And in spite of that, in spite of everything that the psalmist says about how they feel and how they want to react to God's absence or God's silence, they keep saying, "I'm going to go back. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep believing." They're going to keep resting in God as a hiding place. They're going to keep believing the promises of God as a sanctuary. They're going to keep crying out that God will make things right. Brothers and sisters, we lament because God is very much unlike the judge in our parable. And we should be very much like the widow who constantly looks to the only one who can truly make a difference. But unlike the widow who every day went to the court and she stood before a judge not knowing what he was going to do, we go before God with the unending assurance that God will hear our pleas and that God will eventually, someday, in his timing, God will do something about them. You see, the only uncertainty you and I carry with us is whether or not God is going to come today or tomorrow. Luke tells us that Jesus told them this parable so that they would always pray and never give up. Jesus then concludes by asking, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Brothers and sisters, we are people of faith, and people of faith pray. And so when Christ does come, will he find us praying? Will he find us praying, begging, pleading, "Come, Lord Jesus, and make things right"? Will our prayers be filled with lament, but also with the hope and with the assurance of looking ahead to a time when things will be the way God tells us they will be. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.